Good morning. The limud halacha that we have every day before Torah way is should be as chus for the refuah shleima of Yosef Dov ben Chayla b'sor shol chayli Yisrael Amen. So the Nitei Gavriel, we started speaking a couple of days ago about the minhogim of Chodesh Tammuz, some of which apply even before we get to Shavuos Batamos. Shavuos Batamos, everybody knows, it's Soymor Avi, but there are some inyonim which occur previously. We've got one for this Sunday, Mietzshem, when we'll speak about Gimel Tammuz. But the Sefer Hasidim brings down a very scary, spooky thing. Sefer Hasidim brings down Kabbalah Me Rabbeinu HaChosid. He's got a Kabbalah from Rabbeinu HaChosid that Zayin of Elul, Zayin of Shvat, and Zayin of Tammuz, Be'eril HaYomim, Ein La'asois Bohen, where is it? Yeah, Nisuin. He says that on the Zayin of Elul, Shvat, and Tammuz, there's some inyan not to make Nisuin, which means that officially, according to the Sefer Hasidim, there shouldn't be any chasnas next Thursday. So I'm invited to a chasna on Monday, and another one on Wednesday, but I don't know if there are any chasnas on Thursday. But he says, Zayin Tammuz not. He doesn't say why. Obviously it's some inyan alpi Kabbalah, but listen to the consequences. He writes there, V'ho oiveh v'oise, and somebody who was over the Sefer Hasidim, who was a Rishon, writing that, V'ho oiveh v'oise, somebody who makes a chasna on Zayin of Tammuz, or Zayin Elul, or Zayin, which was the third one, I've forgotten already, Shvat I think it was. Yeah, Zayin, Shvat, Elul, and Tammuz. He says, Vo'ovoisa, ho'ish oi ho'isha, either the husband or the wife, achas mehen yomus b'korov. That's what he writes, that they don't have long to live. Toivli zohe, he says, therefore, it's right to be very careful of this, to take notice. V'amazhirim yizoharu, or yazhiru, I'm not sure. Nevertheless, we find that there are a number of tzaddikim, even tzaddikim who knew in Yonim of Kabbalah, for instance, the Ohev Yisrael of Apt, who says that they made chasanas on Zayin Tammuz, and so we don't know. The reason is, no, and then it says, so that's as far as Zayin is concerned. So Zayin seems to be a day when you can't make, when you shouldn't make chasanas, alpi Kabbalah, Sefer Hasidim, we don't know why, and the consequences are dire. And I suppose, man de kopid kopdidon, there are people who are makpid on these things, and if they are, then they shouldn't. And those people who are not makpid can manage without it. Blieda, another day when one shouldn't make chasnas is this Sunday, which is, it's not a day when you shouldn't make chasnas, but it does have a special date in the Hebrew calendar, this Sunday, Gimel Tammuz. And Blieda, we will speak on Sunday about Gimel Tammuz.
Start at Edel Torah Way, Northwest London, Friday, Rosh Chodesh Tammuz, Aleph Tammuz, 27th of June. Rabbi Akiva Rosenblatt, Shlita, don't be like Korah. This week's Torah is sponsored by the family Hanabar, the first simple son of Benji Khan, there and Baki Hanabar, Shatikhe, custom took place on Wednesday. He wrote saying, Shimon advised, and the Imam be Yisrael, the Shem, the Salah, the Skos, Ashavuim, the Chayolim, the Melchamor, Shiach, Sulu, the Tame, the Shalom, Bim Heiro.
Morning, Erev Shabbos, Good Chodesh. So, this week's parasha, as we know, begins with the famous words by Yikach Korach ben Yitzhar ben Kohath ben Levi. And Rashi on by Yikach Korach says, Parasha zu yofa nidreshes. This parasha is very well darshaned in the Medrash Tanchuma. Interesting lashon that Rashi uses over there. Parasha zu yofen idreshes. I'm not sure how many times Rashi says Parasha zu yofen idreshes. What's so special about the drasha of this Medrash Tanchuma on Korach versus all the other drashas that Rashi brings down? Well, perhaps we can understand it based off something the Prima Godim writes. The Prima Godim has a sefer on Chumash, and it's called Tevas Goma, I think. That's how you pronounce it. He says the following. He says, Parasha zu yofen idreshes. Why? He continues and says, Dover be'itoi ma toiv. Why? Because it's always good to talk about something which is relevant and nageya. And he says, when you are darshaning about, this is his words, not mine, when you're darshaning about Sukkot or Yom Kippur or Pesach, of course you want to be darshaning it around the time of year when it's nageya, when it's relevant, when it's those Yomim Tovim coming up. He says, however, Parasha zu of Machlokes, Yofen Idreshes Tomit, it always, unfortunately, is always relevant. It's always going to be something which is nageya to everybody and anybody. Ki ein shor, she'ein machloikas, because there is no time when there is no machloikas, v'akol bizmanoi. And he continues and he says, v'beis ha'knesses, masichin, and beis ha'knesses, we chat, v'nachayim, u'meisim, v'chol, ha'machloikas, shom nasa. And it's at shul where every machloikas takes place. And he continues, and he has a tefillah over here. Hashem yitin ava v'achdus v'yigalenu amen. So parashas is often addresses because machlokas is something which we are all up against. Machlokas is something which is always nageya l'maisa. What's scary about machlokas is that machlokas never begins, or very rarely begins big. It often begins small. Often begins with something which isn't. Doesn't seem to be a major point of contention, and what can happen, as we know, is that it festers and it grows and it develops into something which one didn't imagine it would ever be. And the Shlach Kodesh brings down a beautiful remez to this within the words, within the word machlokes itself. If you look at the letters of machlokes, he says the letters themselves give you a good understanding of what happens when you think machlokas can only start small. He says you start, and he's quoting B'Shem Rapinchas as Segal. He says you start with the letter Mem, not in script, in block. You start with the letter Mem. The Mem has a very small Pesach. It's got a very tiny opening, not very big at all. It's almost entirely closed off. There's just a small opening at the bottom. So machlokas starts small. And then you move on to the letter Ches, and the gap's widened massively. Gets bigger. He says move on to the letter Lamed, then it's fire. It's fire ad hashamayim. It goes. It gets huge. It's on fire and it's big and everything's in flames. And kuf goes right down to the tahayim, brings us way down to places we wish we never got to. And then finally, tof is it's firmly placed on the ground. Tof, it's strong, it's supported, and it's something which seemingly is very hard to get rid of. And that's the progression of machlokas. It starts small, it gets bigger, it goes on fire, it takes us down, and then it becomes something which is firmly on the ground and something which we really struggle to extricate ourselves from. And what's the vav? The vav in machlokas, he says, is the matter which we have, the power. The vav hamafsik ze mishenes hamater shebiyodi lehafsik machlokas. The vav is something which we can hold on to be machzik machlokas. And it's always on us. Whenever it comes to machlokas, it's always on us that we have the power to keep that machlokas going. And that's the vav of machlokas. And he continues somewhat humorously and says, and that vav is very easily turned into a nochosh. That matter can turn evil. Zeh hamater mishapech lenochosh. This matter turns into a snake. So that's our introduction over here to Parashas Korach, which, if you have a theme, and the main message in Parashas Korach is machlokas. On the topic of being machzik machlokas, to keep machlokas going, so the Gemara in Sanhedrin, Daf Kuf Yud, also, not only, it's not the Rashi is quoting the Medrash Tanchuma. Rashi at the beginning of this parasha is going through all the drashas the Medrash Tanchuma brings on Korach, of which there are many. But the Gemara Sanhedrin also has some drashas on this week's parasha. And the Gemara says as follows. Vayokam Moshe, famously Moshe gets up and he himself, with an incredible anava and humility, Vayelech Eldosam Vaviram, he himself goes and tries to make shalom with Dothan and Aviram. Omer Rish Lakish says, Rish Lakish, Mikan she'ein machzikin b'machlokes. From here we see that you cannot, that you should not, be machzik b'machlokes. Now immediately already here is fascinating. Moshe Rabbeinu is not the one that's having the machlokes over here. Moshe Rabbeinu is the one who they are being chaylik on. He's done nothing wrong. And yet, the Rish Lakish in the drasha places some responsibility on Moshe as well. Moshe Rabbeinu as well, and says, Mikan she'ein machzikin b'machlokes, meaning, had Moshe not gone...
Exactly.
But had he not gone, it would be mashma, that would be called being machzik machlokes. Mikan she'ein machzik machlokes. Why? Because you see that Moshe Rabbeinu himself went and tried to calm Dothan and Aviram down. He was right. They were wrong. He did nothing wrong. And yet still, by him not going the other way, it would have been considered to be machzik machlokes, fascinating. But continue. Doma Rav, so that's Rish Lakish. Rish Lakish says, Mikan she'ein machzikin b'machlokes, from where? From the fact that you see the Moshe Rabbeinu himself went and he goes and tries to calm Dothan and Aviram down. And as you say, he did nothing wrong. Doma Rav, kol machzik b'machlokes, over belav, says Rav, Gemara Sanhedrin Kuf Yud, anyone who is machzik b'machlokes is over belav. He's over on a lav. What's the lav? Where does the Torah say anything about not having a machlokes? Doesn't seem to be one of the Torah mitzvahs. Shenama, because it says in the pasuk this week's parasha, v'lo yiyeh k'koyrach v'chadosoy. State in pasuk in this week's parasha after the story with the k'toyres, where we know that wasn't a very happy ending with the makrivei k'toyres, the 250 v'chamishim masayim. Hashem says to Moshe to tell Elazar ben Aaron Hakohen to take the machlokes and melt them down and create a tzipui la mizbeach. Create a tzipui, create a cover for the mizbeach of the machtois. Why? What's the reason given? Zikarin levnei Yisrael. It should be a memory. It should be a remembrance for the Bnei Yisrael. Man asher lo yikrav ish zor, asher lo mizera aron, hu lahakdir kateres levnei Hashem. Firstly, it should be a reminder that it's only the Bnei Aaron that allows the mach of the kateres, nobody else. But the pasuk continues and says, v'lo yiyeh k'kairach v'chadosei, and he should not be like Korach and Adosik, kasher dibur Hashem biyad Moshe loy, as Hashem spoke to Moshe. Says Rav, from here we see, don't be like Korach. And it's a lav, says Rav, not to be like Korach. What does it mean to be like Korach? To be machzik b'machlokes. Interestingly, by the way, doesn't say not to have machlokes. I mean, that l'chaira goes without saying, but it says, don't be me machzik b'machlokes. Machlokes only is able to last so long as somebody's being machzik. It doesn't continue by itself, it dissipates by itself. It's only we who have the power to keep it going, nobody else. Machzik machlokes. Now, interestingly, on that point, there is machlokes rishonim as to whether this Gemara is to be taken at face value or not. The Rambam in Sefer HaMitzvahs, famously in his Shiroshim, before he goes into the Sefer HaMitzvahs, he has rules and conditions as to what's considered to be one of the Tariag Mitzvahs, what classifies as being one of the 613 Mitzvahs. In Shorash Ches, he talks about the fact that there's a difference between what he defines as a tzivoy and a shlila. He says a tzivoy is when the Torah is giving you a command, telling you what to do or what not to do. Shlila is when the Torah is making a statement about something. Not a tzivoy, but it's more of a statement about the way things should be or shouldn't be. And says the Rambam, this pasuk here is, or Rav is giving us an esmachta. It's not a lav mamish, not to be machzik v'machlokes, but it's an esmachta. It's a nice drosha. But it's not mamash alav, because this is not a tzivui, this is telling you something else. How does the Rambam understand poshut pshat in the posuk? Poshut pshat in the posuk, which doesn't sound very poshut, but this, according to the Rambam, is poshut pshat in the posuk, is v'lo yek perach v'chadosei. If I'm remembering correctly, the way the Rambam understands this is that if somebody is machzik b'machlokas, the posuk is telling you, you won't end up like Korach v'chadosei. You won't have the ground swallow you alive, and then your end won't be in the way that Korach v'chadosei was. Rather, kasher diber Hashem b'yad Moshe, and the remez over here to the fact that he will get saras instead. There will be punishment, there will be an einish for machlokes, but don't worry, it's not like Korach v'chadosei, it's kasher diber Hashem b'yad Moshe. In fact, the Gemara in Sanhedrin does carry on and talk about tzaras. So Rabashi Omar Roy Litzareya. Rabashi says he is Roy to get tzaras. Why? Because it says Ksiv Hocha Biyad Moshe Loi Ksiv Hocha Biyemer Loi Oid. The famously when Hashem tells Moshe to put his hand into his chekha and it turns into thoras. So there's a remez here that there's an einish for machlokes, but not like korach v'chadosing. The Ramban is chaylik on the Ramban, and the Ramban says no. This is mamish a lav. The Torah is giving us a lav over here, not a lav in all machlokes, and not a lav in general, not to have machlokes, but specifically with regards to the kahuna. If anybody is chaylik. If anybody challenges whether the Kohanim are ro'i to be the Kohanim in the way that Korach was doing, that is one of the Tariag mitzvahs of Lo'ya Korach v'chadosei, not to be machzik v'machlokas, specifically with regards to the Kohuna. And then the Gemara in Sanhedrin is also, it's an asmachta, but the asmachta is klape the rest of the machlokas that we have. But klape the Kohuna, really interestingly, the Ramban holds his mamish alav midoraisa to be cholik on the Kohuna. In addition to that, we have the Bahag and the Smag and Rabbeinu Yoina all bring this down as a lav to be machzik v'machlokas. And the Chofetz Chaim in Shmiras Haloshon Perek Tes Vov, he writes Korev Hadavar Shubachlal Lavar Al Mitzvah. Says the Chofetz Chaim, you know, even though the Rambam holds it in Smacht, and even the other Rishonim don't read it in that way. Still, he is almost siding with the Rishonim who say that to be machzik v'machlokas, to get involved with machlokas, to create machlokas, is all being over on this mitzvah of lo yeh kakarach v'chadosei. If you take a look at Rashi, by the way, which I probably should have started with, but Rashi doesn't understand the pasuk this way. Of course, he knows the drasha in Sanhedrin, but his in terms of pasuk pshat in the pasuk of lo yeh. What's pshat? How does he understand the pasuk? Well, he reads it like this. He says, "Kedei shelo yiyeh chakorach." It's a continuation of what the pasuk was saying before. The pasuk earlier was saying that you should not be makriv asher lo mizera aron who lacked the klaris. Kedei shelo yiyeh chakorach. So you shouldn't end up like korach v'chadosei. Meaning, there's no specific lab, there's no specific issa the Torah is giving to be like korach, but it's just continuation of what the pasuk is telling us before. Now, machlokas is the theme of this week's parasha, and as we know, famously, the Mishnah in Pirkei Avos tells us there's two types of machlokas. There's machlokas l'shem shamayim, and there's machlokas shaloi l'shem shamayim. The Mishnah tells us, eizeh hu machlokas l'shem shamayim, it's machlokas of Hillel and Shammai. Eizeh machlokas shaloi l'shem shamayim, Machlokas of Korach Hados, it says the Mishnah, Machlokas L'Shem Shamayim is Seifa L'Eskayim. Machlokas Shaloi L'Shem Shamayim is Eina Seifa L'Eskayim. And let's unpack this slightly, this Mishnah, because it really speaks to who Korach and Hados were and what was so bad about what they were doing. Firstly, famously, we've all had this kasha, and I'm sure we've all had many tirutzim to this kasha, but it's good to think about every so often. Hillel and Shammai make sense. Hillel's on one side, Shammai's on the other. Korach v'Chadosai. Where's the other side? Where's Moshe Rabbeinu? And there's a few different answers given by some of the Rishonim, by the Mefarshim, and they are all equally relevant and Nogea. And the most famous answer given is that Moshe Rabbeinu was obviously L'Shem Shamayim. And when the Mishnah is giving us an example of a Machlokas Shalei L'Shem Shamayim, it doesn't want to throw Moshe Rabbeinu into the same equation. If it says a machlokas shalei l'shem shamayim, it would be mashma that Moshe was also chas v'shalom shalei l'shem shamayim. So it only highlights korach v'chadosei because it's only one side of the argument that shalei l'shem shamayim, whereas of course Moshe Rabbeinu is l'shem shamayim. But I heard another pshat recently, and we see this to be true. We see this to be true with our own eyes, and that is when you have a machlokas shalei l'shem shamayim, then even within the very camp that is the one that's instigating the machlokas, there is machlokas. There's machlokas with Korach and his adosai. They are chaylik with each other. There is no real achdus when there is a machlokas shalei l'shem shamayim. And perhaps that's one of the ways of telling, it's a bit dangerous to say this, perhaps that's one of the ways of telling whether a machlokas is l'shem shamayim or not. And look at the way they themselves are behaving with each other. If it's l'shem shamayim, if they're going l'shem shamayim, then there is an achdus, there is an understanding, there's an anava almost within them themselves. When it's shalei l'shem shamayim, then there's further machlokas within that camp itself. And that's why the Mishnah highlights and says that Korach and Adasai, because they themselves were having machlokas with each other. It looks in the Chumash like everyone was getting on with each other. But really what's going on is that your enemy's enemy is your friend. But it's not a real friendship. It's just that you are both fighting against the same person. But between you and yourselves, there is still machlokas, there is still animosity between you. And that also happens in a machlokas, which is Shalom L'Shem Shamayim. What does it mean, Seifa L'Hiskayim? Or Ein Seifa L'Hiskayim? So the Pashup Shat is, Seifa L'Hiskayim, is that the people will be Niskayim. Is that if you look what happens to Hillel and Shammai, they have Talmidim, they have a legacy, their machlokas, which was L'Shem Shamayim, stays. And they themselves are Niskayim. Whereas Korach and Adasai are no more, are no longer, they've disappeared. However, there's another way of reading this Mishnah, of understanding the Mishnah, and that is Seifa L'Hiskayim, is the machlokas itself will be Miskayim. Seifa, meaning the purpose behind the machlokas will be Miskayim. So I should rephrase that. Not the machlokas will be Miskayim, but the goal, the end goal of the machlokas will be Miskayim. When it's a machlokas L'Shem Shamayim, you'll get somewhere. You'll get somewhere. There's goodwill on both sides. There's a goal on both sides to get to the emes, for the sake of emes. And if I'm wrong, then fine, so be it. I don't care whether I'm right or wrong. I care about what's true. So Seifa L'Hiskayim, there will be your goal will happen. Whereas a Machlekes Shalei L'Shem Shamayim goes on forever. There is no end. There is no Seifa L'Hiskayim. There is no the goal which both sides are trying to achieve never actually happens. Both parties lose out. There is no end in sight, and there is nothing which will be Miskayim afterwards. Scary thoughts about Machlokas, but as said earlier, we see that is true, and we see what Machlokas can bring. The Chasam Sofer points out, and has a beautiful pshat in this pasuk which we mentioned earlier. And he says, you know, Machlokas of today, the Machlokas that we have, the Chayra is very different to the machlokas that Moshe Rabbeinu, that Korach was having with Moshe. The challenge that Korach had towards Moshe. Why? Because Korach and Adasai, they were challenging the Torah itself, almost. They were on the other side of the Torah. You had Moshe Rabbeinu, who was representing the Torah, who was the one who we got the Torah from, and they were coming to negate that. They were coming to challenge that. They were coming against Torah's Moshe. He says, when we have machlokas nowadays, then we base ourselves on the Torah. You know, we are right because the Torah says we're right. We never think we're going against the Torah and have machlokas. It's we support ourselves from the very same Torah. We say, no, we're right and we're on the right side because the Torah has told us so. And this is why I'm right. And he says, well, read the pasuk carefully. And he says, v'lo yeh korach v'chadosai, of course. You can't be like korach v'chadosai. They were challenging. They were being koifer in the Torah, in the integrity, in the transmission of the Torah that Moshe is giving. However, the pasuk continues and says, "Kasher diber Hashem biyad Moshe loy." He says, and also, don't get involved in machlokas where you truly believe that you are being supported by the Torah itself. And those are the most dangerous machlokas when you think that God is on your side. When you think Hashem is on your side, when you think that you are fighting for Hashem, and innocently so. We always think that sometimes when we're fighting for a good cause. Remember, says the Chasam Sofer, that that's also a slippery slope. That's also something which we need to protect ourselves from and make sure that we don't end up going there. To share with you another idea which I came across recently on the topic of machlokas. And that is, we find, again, famous story, interesting story with the Matos. After it's clear to Klal Yisrael that Korach was wrong, and Moshe Rabbeinu was right. Sorry, by the way, one more thing to say, I forgot to mention this at the beginning. There's a beautiful idea from Nachum Mendel Rimanov. He says, the Chazal tell us, B'nei Korach loy mesu. Chazal tell us that the sons of Korach didn't die, they did teshuva. They changed almost last minute, and we know famously they fell inside, but they weren't quite all the way down. They had some sort of ledge which they were able to stay on, and we have Lamanat Tzev, Livnei Korach. The children of Korach managed to, in the 11th hour, protect themselves from what happened to everybody else. But he understands it, and he says, obviously, Al Pi Drush, he says, B'nei Korach Le'Mesu, there will always be, in every single generation, in every single dor, you will have B'nei Korach. It's something which never stops. There's always going to be, not B'nei Korach in the literal sense, but people who are like Korach. People who come from the same source as Korach. And be careful. And be careful, because we, Chas V'Shalom, could be one of those. It's not something that ended there. Something which continues. B'nei Korach Le'Mesu, it's a concept that concept of Machloikas is something which is endless. It's never ending. Going back to what I was saying before, I heard Reb Meilech Bineman brings this down. I can't remember who he quoted B'Shem, but it's a beautiful idea, which is at the end, towards, not quite at the end, but after the whole story of Korach. So famously, Hashem says every single matter, every single nasi needs to bring a matter, which is L'Rosh Beis Avosam, and they're going to bring it to the Ohel Moed. And you'll see what will happen. And as we know, famously, the matter of Aaron blossoms. It's not just blossoms, but it's specifically almond blossoms, shkedim. So the question is why? Why dafka? Why shkedim? It seems a bit random. Some sort of fruit, maybe a shivas aminim. I don't know. Maybe a pomegranate. Maybe a sorry. So yeah, Rashi gives his pshat, of course. So if you look inside Rashi. He says, right, it's a very quick fruit to grow, and that's also a reminder to those who dare to be chalek on the kahuna that Puronius is Mamaheris Lavei. However, says Reb Meilech Bineman, there's another remez over here with almonds, and he quotes the Gemara, I believe it's in Erevin. The Gemara says there's two types of almonds. There's an almond which is tchilasei mar v'soifei masik. There's an almond which, when you taste it originally, it's bitter, and then it turns sweet. And there's an almond which is tchilasei masik v'soifei mar. There's an almond which tastes sweet at the beginning, and as you get into it, and as you enjoy it, it ends up being bitter. And he says that when we find ourselves in machlokas, and somebody has, and we have an opportunity of one-upmanship, we have an opportunity to give that knockout blow in machlokas, to prove the other one wrong, it's very sweet. It feels sweet. It's tempting. It's something which I really want to do. He says, however, that's trilosei masoik. It may feel sweet at the time, but soifei mar. You're going to end up in a very bitter place. You're going to end up in a very difficult place. It's not going to end it at all. You may feel satisfied in the here and now, but it's only going to continue to give fire and give fuel to that machlokas, which we really would like to see end. And the flip side is when you keep quiet, when you have something to say, when you're not necessarily wrong in the way that people think you are, and you know that you have something to say which will stare the other side, and you keep going, you hold back. He says, that's bitter, that's mar, that's hard, that's difficult, that's challenging, it's not something which anybody wants to do. But don't worry, because sofei mosik, don't worry, in the end you will only gain from that, you'll only stand to gain, it will only be sweet, it will only be something which you'll never, ever live to regret. And that's the remez of the almonds on Aaron HaKohen's stick, that you could go, machlokes can go both ways, exactly like the almond. It could either be something which is sweet but then very bitter, or something which is bitter and then very sweet. And the choice is ours. The choice is absolutely ours when it comes to machlokas. I wanted to share one final idea over here, which is slightly off the topic of machlokas, but also relevant. And that is as follows. Yeah. Oh, well, okay, maybe I won't say that. I'll just end with machlokes. Two more ideas. Yeah. I realized there's more I wanted to say on this. So the Altar of Kelm, it's famous apparently when there was this machlokes around the Musa movement, which wasn't fully accepted at the time. It was seen as something too novel and different. Apparently the Alter of Kelm didn't get involved. He didn't get involved in Machlokes, he stayed quiet. His Talmidim asked him and they said, why not get involved? L'chori, this is a Machlokes L'shem Shamayim. Yeah, this is a good cause. This is something which we should have a machlokas about. This is something which you need to stand up for and get involved with. And he says, and if he says this, Kal v'chomer us, he says, look at machlokas l'shem shamayim. He said, the maximum you can withstand, the maximum you can hold on to a machlokas being l'shem shamayim, in his words, is half a day. Half a day. Chatzi yom, he says. Half a day you can keep a machlokas l'shem shamayim. However, after that, it gets really hard to keep it l'shem shamayim. It may start l'shem shamayim, it may feel l'shem shamayim at the time, maybe something which you know you have to get involved with l'shem shamayim, but half a day later, doesn't mean literally half a day, but you know, you understand his point, other things get involved. Gaiva gets involved, ego gets involved, other middos get involved, and before you know it, the machlokas which started off being l'shem shamayim is not so l'shem shamayim anymore. So also, something was l'shem shamayim, remember, it could start L'shem Shamayim, but doesn't necessarily continue being L'shem Shamayim as well. Also, a warning when it comes to Machlokes. And the last thing to say is this. Again, going back to Reb Melech Biederman, he was saying at the same point, and he says, there was a Maisa with somebody who came to, I can't remember which Rebbe it was, but he came to his Rebbe, and he's talking about a Din Torah that he was having. And he was asking his rabbi, should I continue to fight? Should I continue? I'm right. I want this money, and the money is rightfully mine. Should I continue to fight, or should I be mevata? And he said to him, if it was up to me, you should be mevata. He says, why? He says, because, let me ask you a question. He says, what is more dangerous? To run in front of a moving, run in front of a truck that's traveling at 100 miles an hour, and I can't remember what the other thing was, but don't worry, you don't need to know the other thing, I can't remember, I have to find it again, but run in front of the truck that's running, or the other thing. And he said, I can't remember, it's just slipped my mind, and he says, Machlokes is like running in front of a truck that's traveling 100 miles an hour. He says, why? He says, because other things in life, there's brakes. Oh, sorry, other way around, sorry. No, I've got it now. Running in front of the truck or Machlokes? Running in front of the truck or Machlokes? He said, you think you run in front of a truck going 100 miles an hour, that's dangerous. He says, well, at least the truck has brakes. At least there's hope. At least there's something which can be done to stop the impact over here. It doesn't look likely, but at least there's something that is within the realm of possibility for this to be prevented. He says, when it comes to Machlokes, it's virtually impossible. There's no brakes on Machlokes. Once Machlokes begins, and once Machlokes starts, and as we said right at the beginning, it's a mem, it's a small Pesach, it's nothing, it's tiny, it's just a small argument I'm having, and don't worry, we'll get through this. Once that begins and starts and it builds momentum, then a truck has brakes. Machlokes has no brakes. Machlokes is something which goes on forever. And even Korach, who they say, Tzadik HaTomer Yifroch, Korach was a tzadik. Korach was somebody who was a tzadik. He was somebody who we would see today as being a god l'ador. He fell into this trap of Machlokes, and by the time he knew it, there was no brakes, and he wasn't able to stop himself. So, Mitzvah Hashem, we should all take to heart the lesson of this week's parasha of Machlokes, and find shalom that we are all looking for. Amen.
All right, follow up on the chush of the speaker. There was a master, he mentioned now that how it hasn't got breaks. The Chofetz Chaim actually records, I'm not sure, I think it could be in Seif Havas Chesed, but I heard it b'shmoy, that in Radin there were two families who were involved in the monetary feud, and this gained momentum to such an extent that the two sides were literally splitting the fiber of the entire town. And Chofetz Chaim was observing as it's taking momentum. And apparently the one who was the instigator of one side was so vicious that he really rallied and got people up on his side. And his son went up to fix a roof in his hometown there. And apparently he slipped on the roof and he fell, he broke his neck and he died. Then a few weeks later, he had another son, and the other son went out on a hot summer day. he went swimming in the river, and Chunutzlon, he drowned in the river, and he didn't make it. Chofetz Chaim saw the way things were actually transpiring, and he called the man who was the instigator, the one who was the real takif, and he said to him, "Listen, Yankel, you can see where this is heading. It doesn't look good. Milo, one son, you could say ile mikrihi, but two sons in such a short period of time." He said, "It's a terrible thing. I mean, can't you see the writing on the wall?" Chofetz Chaim said that the man looked him in the face and said to him coldly in Yiddish, "Ich hel sei alle beerdigen in ich hel gewinnen," which means, "I will bury every one of my children, but I will win." So Chofetz Chaim said, "Kame gedoyle koiche shel machlokes." Zwamschlag Rashi says that he was still a dinner bezel shalmala, bezel shalmata, whether by Bar Mitzvah, or by 20 years old Klapa Shemaya, by Yoinke Shadayim. Once the lorry is driving at 100 miles an hour, it's got brakes. Achloikas, no brakes. But to bring back to quote the Pirkei Avos, which the Achush speaker mentioned also about Achloikas Leshem Shemaya, Shreel Leshem Shemaya, the famous words from the Rabshitzer, and that's one which is nice for the table, if you want, which is that he koyach was lukach atzmoy letzad echot. Tzad echot means that he took himself to one side, which is famously like was quoted before. Tzad echot means that there was only the one side. Like the Mishnah in Uva says, kol machlokes ishi shein el shem shemayim. It doesn't speak about Moshe at all. Just says koyach v'chol adusa. The question is a famous question. So teile gerobshitze moyrudik. Koyach took himself to tzad echot. Tzad Echot means that there's only one side. Tzad is Begematria 94. Two Tzedudim, that means there's two times Tzad, is 188. The Rashi says, Pikeach is Begematria 188. Because the clever man can see two times Tzad. Therefore there's his view and my view. And the principal premise of a wise man is that we can agree to disagree. It doesn't mean that just because we have a difference of opinion that tears the fabric of our relationship apart. And therefore we can agree to disagree. And if you take it further, 188 is the pikach. So imagine if you've got two pikachim, and they're both involved in the machlokes, like Hillel and Shammai. So twice Pikech is twice 188, which comes to 376. Shule. Gewaltig, peace. So therefore you can see that peace reigns amongst two wise men, that they can have their differences, and it doesn't necessarily mean that they are at loggerheads. That's Rabbi Shlomo Eiger once explained the Gemara famously, which says, "Kemoi she'ein patzufayem doimoy ziluzi, kach ein deyoseyem doimoy ziluzi." In the same way that in the human race faces are not similar to one another, you don't walk up to a fellow in the street and you start knocking the daylights out of him and saying to him, "I don't like your nose. Go to a plastic surgeon and get it shortened because it's not the same length as mine." And you don't go to him because you don't like the color of his eyes. You accept he's different, I'm different, and I'm part of him, doing my zilzi. So why should you, because the fellow's got a different opinion to you, go for him, maul him, lynch him, shout at him, scream at him, and you have to prevail. You have to win. So this is machlokes, this is the koach of machlokes. I finish off with one short maaser. Because the Masse is a Masse neure Meut. So the Heilige Beisesul was in a time, it's got to do with the beginning of the Seder, because the beginning of the Seder speaks about a certain gentleman who was involved initially, but he had a very clever lady. His wife was Mrs. Oinman Pelles. And she knew that whatever the case is, he's not Levi, he's not Cohen, and he's getting involved in this. So he thinks that by like people in the House of Lords, if you rub shoulders with this one, with that one, inevitably somehow you're going to perhaps find yourself a more prominent place in the world and in the echelons of politics. So he said like this. He came along to her, so she said, "Ah, it's a Eden." So she took off her shaitel, and she sat there in the deck chair with her hair. And of course, the people who were standing there, they said, it's pastor, it's not right for us, and so they passed by and they said, let's leave him out of it. She saved his life. Haim Ben Peles was not one of those which was on the hit list. The bottom line is like this. There was a Yid who I remember who he was married into the Gera family, into the dynasty, although he was not so, he wasn't the Chassidish Ingeman, he was actually learned in Hebron Yeshiva, if I'm not mistaken. And he married an Einiki of the Likiti Hide. And apparently the girl in question didn't want a, you know, fully fledged Chassidish Ingeman, she wanted a Coca-Cola light. So this fellow, he met the credentials. Were happily married, Boshem. No. After he went to the army, he was working boy and he did his service. Behi Ayoim, 1973. And I was in the Gerib Smedrish and the sirens went off in the middle of Misef and the beginning of the Yom Kippur War started. People went out, people were confused, they saw trucks there, they saw some army personnel, but nobody seemed to know what was going on. There was a huge sense of confusion. Bottom line was, Motzi Yom Kippur, they were calling people up, and he was one of them. And he knew that if he doesn't go immediately to Schnelle, which was then the army base, then there could be a serious question of court-martialing later. And he ran quickly to his father-in-law, who was the Gereinike. And the wife said to him, as he's packing his things together, Alachta li pared my Rebbe, did you go to Gesegen from the Rebbe? And he said, no, I must rush because otherwise I'll get into trouble with the authorities. So she said to him, no, you have to go. And he saw that she meant business, so he turned around. They didn't live far away, so he ran to the Gerib Smedrish. There were hundreds of people there waiting to go into the Baisisul to Gesegen before, and he wasn't the only one that was drafted. So he ran home quickly. He wasn't taking any chances. He didn't want to get into any trouble. And as he was taking his bag, so she caught him again. She said, Halachta li paret my Rebbe, did you go to Gesegen? So he said, there were loads of people there. I'll stand there. It'll be, I don't know how long. The wife became hysterical. She started to cry and she put herself down in front of the front door and lie down there. And she says, you're not going anywhere until you go to Gesegen by the Rebbe. Do you hear? And he saw his wife means business, and he wasn't starting with her, certainly not to war before he goes out to war. And he went back. But in Ger, things go fast. And although there were hundreds of people before, the Gesegen goes mamish like a conveyor belt. By the time he came back, empty. There's nobody there anymore. And now he's standing in front of the bar's door there, and the Mshamash is standing and says, what's this to do? So he says, Kikim Gesegen. He said, I came to say, it's closed already. People have gone. The Rebbe was after Yom Kippur. And then suddenly there's a voice from inside. Heilige Weisse, who's standing there? And so the Kabbah runs inside and he says to him, Jene, Jene, Einki. Rief Mara. So he comes in, stands there. The Rebbe looks at him up and down and just says to him, Fug is in the height. Have a safe trip. The man went and he went out to the front because he was in the Egyptian front. I don't know if you remember in those days in 1973, the tanks were not the same as they are today. And there you had several men sitting inside and one person by the turret who was half inside, half outside, partly helping to navigate. The bottom line is, Rachmun Etzlan, it was in the beginning of the war on the Egyptian front and they were surrounded. He was a tankist in the front. And they got surrounded by three other Egyptian tanks and they blew that tank mamish to smithereens. Everybody who was inside the tank in that Hunel Tzlon got burned to death. And he, from the impact, because he was sitting on top, was thrown a few hundred yards and he was shell-shocked. But the ambulance, the army ambulance, came and picked him up from the floor, put him in the ambulance and drove with him to the army hospital. He was Baruch Hashem, survived. He had burns, but he came out of it. 6 weeks by the time he was released from hospital was way after the war. And he's going there with crutches, but he still is walking. And he comes, tells the driver to take him the first place he goes, please take me to the Ger Abes Medrash. He goes to the Ger Abes Medrash, he gets access, he goes in, stands in front of the Rebbe. As soon as he walks in, the Rebbe looks at him and just says one thing. Oin ben Peles, ishto yitzalto. Oin ben Peles, his wife saved his life. We chavos.
Yeah, let's do it.